Our text for today evening is Revelation chapter 7, the whole chapter, Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. I read to you, Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and wash their robes. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, once again we thank you for this evening hour when we can come as your church, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. We can come together before your throne room, call you up our Father, all because of the finished work that Jesus Christ, your Son, has done for us on the cross. We thank you for access, for boldness and confidence to call you Abba. We thank you for access to your very throne room and the joy of knowing you, O Lord our God. We thank you that you reveal yourself in and through your Son to us. And we thank you, blessed Lord, for leaving glory, coming into this world, taking upon yourself a human body, and in your sinless, perfect body, you took our sin. You took our shame, you took our guilt, you took our pain, you took our sorrow, you took our sicknesses, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, the punishment of our peace being laid on you. And by the blows that cut into your body, we've been healed. Thank you for including us in all that you did for us, Lord. In your death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation, you raised us up, you seated us with you. Thank you, Lord, that you have come to dwell in us by your Spirit. And blessed Holy Spirit, we thank you. You have come to dwell in these our bodies. And you are the Lord who leads us into all truth. So help us, Lord. Help us this evening, as we seek your face, we desire to grasp your holy word. Open our eyes that we would perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law. Write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. Cause your word to become flesh in us. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7, we hear of the seals and the sealed. The seals and the sealed. And before we proceed, let's look once again at the outline of the book of Revelation. The outline of Revelation, the key theme being Jesus Christ, the victor. The key verses being Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. In chapter 1, we see the things which you have seen, according to Revelation 1:19. The things which you have seen, that's John's vision of the exalted Christ. And then in chapter 2 and chapter 3, the things which are, that is the present age of the church, the messages to the seven churches. And then in chapters 4, right up to chapter 22, the things which shall be hereafter. And there we see in chapter 4 and chapter 5, what is happening in heaven. Worship that is taking place in heaven. Worship of the Creator in chapter 4. Worship of the Redeemer in chapter 5. And then from chapter 6 right up to chapter 19, we see the tribulation that takes place on earth. The first half of the tribulation in chapters 6 to 9. The middle half of the middle of the tribulation, chapters 10 to 14. And the last half of the tribulation, chapters 15 to 19. And then in chapter 20, we see the millennial, the 1,000-year reign, the kingdom of Christ on earth. And then in chapter 21 and chapter 22, we see the new heavens and the new earth. We are now studying Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And John characterized the opening days of the tribulation in Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 7 as a time of retribution, a time of response, and a time of redemption. In chapter 6 verses 1 to 8, we saw retribution. In chapter 6 verses 9 to 17, we saw the response. And today we are in chapter 7 and we see redemption. We've already looked into chapter 6, retribution and response. And so today we look into redemption, chapter 7 verses 1 to 17. Now it's important, it's very important that we contrast the two groups of people that are described in Revelation chapter 7. In verses 1 to 8, in Revelation chapter 7, we see the Jews. And in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, we see Gentiles from all nations. In Revelation 7, verses 1 to 8, we see them, these Jews are numbered. And they're numbered and they're sealed. 1,44,000 Jews. Numbered, sealed. Sealed on earth. And in Revelation 7, 9 to 17, we see these are not numbered. The Gentiles are not numbered. Nor can they be numbered. They are standing in heaven before God. So we see what's happening on earth. We see what's happening in heaven. Now we are not told explicitly in the scripture that the 1,44,000 Jews are God's special chosen witnesses, and that the Gentile host is saved through the ministry of this 1,44,000 Jews. We are not told explicitly in scripture regarding this. But this appears to be a logical deduction. Otherwise, why are they associated in this chapter? The sealed Jews on earth and the Gentiles from all nations seen in heaven. Why are they associated? Why are they associated in this chapter? The parallel which we spoke of last time, last Sunday, is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. That indicates that the 1,44,000 will witness for the Lord during the tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So first, let's look at the sealed Jews. Revelation 7 verses 1 to 8, I read once again those verses because this is very important for us to understand. Revelation 7 verses 1 to 8. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Now, angels are associated with the forces of nature. The wind is mentioned in Revelation 7 verse 1. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. So angels are associated with the forces of nature, the wind. Angels are also associated with fire. Revelation 14 verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the wine of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe." Angels are also associated with water. Revelation chapter 16 verse 5. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things." Now, stopping the winds, that's what we see in Revelation 7 verse 1. Stopping of the winds, that implies a lull before the storm. A lull before the storm. Revelation 7 verse 1. After these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. You see, God controls. God is sovereign and he controls all of nature. And during the day of his wrath, when his wrath falls upon the earth, he will use these forces of nature to judge mankind. And angels are in control. They are connected. They are associated with these forces of nature. So God controls all of nature. And during the time of his wrath, he will use these forces of nature to judge. He will judge mankind using these four forces of nature. And in scripture, we see here, sealed. They are sealed. The 144,000 are sealed. Now, in scripture, a seal indicates ownership. Sealing means your own. It also indicates protection. Revelation chapter 7 verses 2 to 3. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Now today, God's people are sealed by the Holy Spirit. During the church age, God's children, God's people are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You trusted. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I believe that's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, such a person who has, such a person will have the witness of the Holy Spirit in his spirit that he is a child of God. One of the things that happens when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will lack no assurance of salvation. You will be 100% assured of salvation because you will have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your spirit that you are a child of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You will never doubt our salvation. Because the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee, has come to dwell in us, witnessing to our spirits that we are children of God. This is God's guarantee that we are saved. Not only saved, we are safe, and that one day he will take us to heaven. The 144,000 Jews living during the time of tribulation, they will receive the Father's name as their seal. They will receive the Father's name as their seal. Revelation chapter 14 verse 1. Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his Father's name written on their foreheads. Now in contrast to this, during the tribulation, the unbelievers at that time, they will receive the mark of the beast. The sealed 144,000, they have the seal, the Father's name on their foreheads, written on their foreheads. But the unbelievers during that time, they will receive the mark of the beast. And the Antichrist will give them the mark of the beast. The Antichrist will give those who follow him this mark. In Revelation chapter 13 verse 17. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Again, Revelation 14 verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Revelation 16 verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth. These are the bowl judgments. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. COVID will be nothing compared to all of this. Revelation 19 verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The 144,000 Jews, they will receive the Father's name as their seal. And this seal will protect these chosen Jews from the judgments that will hurt the earth and the sea. Judgments are going to come during this time, during the time of tribulation. And during that time, the 144,000 Jews will be sealed. The unbelievers, they will receive the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 7 verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. Now these judgments will occur when the first four angels blow their trumpets. These judgments will begin. Revelation chapter 8 verses 1 to 13. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first trumpet, what happens? Entire vegetation on earth is struck. Nothing left of the vegetation on earth. Verse 7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second trumpet, what happens? The seas are struck.
In verse 8, then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then you have the third trumpet. The waters are struck, meaning the rivers. In verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then you have the fourth trumpet. The heavens are struck. In verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet." Not yet over. "Because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." Then what happens is these judgments are intensified. These judgments are intensified when the horrible locusts are released. The locusts are released from the pit in Revelation chapter 9 verses 1 to 4. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So the 144,000, they are protected from these awesome judgments, and the 144,000 will be able to do their work. What is their work? They're witnessing to the Gentile nations, to the peoples of the earth. And that will bring glory to the Lord. Now, in every age, God has had His faithful remnant. His faithful remnant who belong to Him, who do His work. Every age God has. Even in the tribulation, God will have. And that is the one lakh, that those are the 144,000 who are sealed by Him, who do His work. They are the Jews who proclaim Christ, the gospel, and the Gentiles will receive. Now, in every age, God has His faithful servants. Elijah thought he was alone, but God had 7,000 who were yet faithful to Him. In 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 18, "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Elijah thought he was alone. God says, "No, I have 7,000. You know, we think the work that we do, probably only we are doing. Not at all. God has faithful people all across the globe. Now the sealing that is described in Revelation chapter 7 verses 1 to 17, it certainly has its background in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 9 verses 1 to 7, you see the faithful, and the faithful are sealed. Before God's judgment falls, the faithful are sealed. Ezekiel chapter 9 verses 1 to 7. "Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, 'Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand.' And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen, and had a writer's ink horn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar." Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. The glory of God is leaving Israel. First leaves the temple, then leaves the nation. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink on at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. So God has his people whom he will seal. And this happens throughout history. In verse 5, to the others he said in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women. But do not come near anyone on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Judgment begins at the house of God. Let's not forget that. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. Judgment is going to come upon the city. And they went out and killed in the city. So while these 144,000 Jews, during the time of tribulation, they are an elect people chosen in the last days with a special task from God. Yes, that's true. But they also symbolize God's faithful elect in every age of history. In every age of history. Now this number, 144,000, is a significant number because it signifies perfection. It signifies completion. 144,000. 144 is equal to 12 into 12. Right? Perfect. Some see here the completeness of all God's people. Some people say these are the 12 tribes of Israel, Old Testament saints, the completeness of God's people, Old Testament saints, and the 12 apostles, New Testament saints. Now that may be a good application of this passage. But it is not the basic interpretation, because we are told that these 144,000 are all Jews. They are all Jews, and even their tribes are named. So if someone comes up to you and tells you, I am one of the 144,000, then you need to ask the question, to which tribe do you belong? Please prove it. There is a denomination that claimed that for a long time. I don't know whether they still do. They still do. So you must ask them, which tribe are you from? Please prove. Please prove. Of course, the person will not be able to prove it. Even Jews today, they find it very difficult to prove the tribe from which he or she descended, because genealogical records have all been, most of it has been destroyed. But even the fact that 10 of the tribes, you know, remember before Judah and Benjamin were taken into captivity, before they were taken to Babylon into captivity, northern 10 tribes were invaded by Assyria. And they are considered the lost tribes. These northern 10 tribes are considered the lost tribes. But even the fact that the 10 tribes were taken by Assyria and they seem to be lost, that is no problem as far as God is concerned. Because God knows his people and he knows where they are. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 verse 28, so Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So as far as God is concerned, none of them are lost. All the 12 tribes still exist. The Apostle Paul tells King Agrippa, Acts chapter 26 verse 7, to this promise our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Again, he mentions the 12 tribes. James writes to the 12 tribes. He writes to the 12 tribes that are scattered. James chapter 1 verse 1. So we know when we hear that the 10 tribes are lost, northern 10 tribes are lost, they are not lost as far as God is concerned. James 1 verse 1. James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Yes, they are scattered. He says greetings. So this is not to say There are literal interpretation. I believe the literal interpretation is the right interpretation. But even the literal interpretation of this passage has problems. Because you find in the passage Levi, why is Levi included? Because Levi actually had no inheritance with the other tribes. According to Numbers chapter 18 verses 20 to 24. And the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Throughout your generations. Verse 24. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Again in Joshua chapter 13 verse 14. Only to the tribe of Levi he had given no inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said to them. Then the next problem that we face when we take this as a literal translation, although I believe it is a literal interpretation, sorry, and I believe that's right, there's another problem. Why is Joseph named, but Ephraim is not, his son Ephraim is not named? Because Ephraim is usually connected with his brother Manasseh. Finally, why is the tribe of Dan is omitted here, and yet it is included in Ezekiel's list? It is included for the apportionment of the land. Ezekiel chapter 48 verse 1. Now these are the names of the tribes from the northern border along the road to Hethlon, at the entrance of Hamath to Hazar Enan, the border of Damascus northward in the direction of Hamath. There shall be one section for Dan from its east to its west side. Now many suggestions have been made, but we do not know the answers. And even if we interpreted this passage in a spiritual sense, suppose we interpret this passage saying Israel is the church, we can't be more certain. We must permit God to know the secret things. Not allow our ignorance of those secret things to hinder us from obeying what we do know. In all the interpretation, in the literal interpretation, I believe is the closest, but yet it has problems. And we can't spiritualize this and say Israel is the church. Israel is not the church. Israel is not the church. Israel is Israel. Deuteronomy 29:29. Yes, I hide behind Deuteronomy 29:29. Because these are secret things we don't know. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So I would say I don't know. God knows. These are secret things which belong to God. I am called to obey, you and I, we are called to obey what we know. What we know. So that is with regard to the 144,000 Jews who are sealed during the time of tribulation. Now during this time, we also see in Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 to 17, we see the saved Gentiles. I believe that these 144,000 Jews who are sealed by God are going to be his witnesses. And they witness to the world of Gentiles. They witness to the world of Gentiles. And the Gentiles will get saved. During the tribulation there will be a great revival. There will be a great awakening. Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 to 17. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. This is in heaven. Clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now you cannot read the book of Revelation without developing a global outlook. These are from all over the world. The Gentiles will come to know Christ, because the emphasis is on what God does for people in the whole world. And the Lamb died, remember, to redeem people out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now the great multitudes that are pictured here in Revelation chapter 7 verses 9 to 17. The Gentiles who are pictured here, they come from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. That means so many ethnic groups all across the globe. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. What did Jesus tell us? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That was the Lord's mandate. Mark 16 verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's no doubt as to who this multitude is. Who is this multitude? Because one of the elders, he explains to John who this multitude is. Revelation 7 verses 13 to 15. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. 144,000 Jews sealed by God, witnessing to the whole world. People from every tribe, language, nation come to know Christ. And they are in heaven praising God. Who are these is a question. Who are these? These are the Gentiles who have been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ during the tribulation. These are called tribulation saints. We'll meet the same group in Revelation chapter 14 verses 1 to 20. You'll find the same group. Now today, in most parts of the world, it's relatively easy compared to what's going to happen during the tribulation. It is relatively easy today to confess Christ. But during the time of tribulation, you say you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, most likely you'll be beheaded. Most likely you'll be beheaded. I still remember sharing the gospel with one of my close friends, extremely good musician. And I was sharing the gospel with him, and he kept on and on, you know, asking questions and sometimes arguing. Then I came to a point when I had to ask him to
whether he was willing to make a decision for Christ. And he told me this, you know what he said? Because I explained right from Genesis to Revelation. That was the kind of, you know, I've never made a gospel presentation like that. But this was, you know, because I was spending time with him and he was asking question after question. Finally, I pinned him down and I said, what about you? Are you willing to receive Christ now? You know what he told me? He said, not now. I'll receive Christ during the tribulation. I said, you'll be finished. You'll be killed. If you say, I belong to Jesus, you'll be killed. If you profess your faith in Christ, you will be killed during the tribulation. It's better, easier that you accept Christ now and be raptured when the church is raptured, rather than say, I will accept Christ during the tribulation. You know what happened to him? He died at the age of 60. God gives every human being a chance. But that chance calls for a decision. And that decision involves a commitment. A commitment. So today, in most parts of the world, in spite of persecution, it is still relatively easy to confess Christ. But this will not be the case during the tribulation. At least during the last half of it, it won't be this case. It will be terrible. Because unless persons wear the mark of the beast, they will not be able to buy or sell during that time. And this would leave them without the bare necessities of life. That's how it is going to be. Revelation 7:16. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. Revelation 7:16 indicates that they suffered what? Hunger. Because Revelation 13:17 says, Revelation 13:17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So they suffered hunger, these tribulation saints, because during the tribulation, no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. They suffered thirst because Revelation 16 verse 4 says, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water and they became blood. So these tribulation saints who are killed, they had suffered hunger, they had suffered thirst. They suffered lack of shelter because of the heat of the sun. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. It's all over. But they suffered. Revelation 16 verses 8 to 9. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. And they did not repent. And give him glory. Now the fact that these saved Gentiles, they are standing before the throne and not seated around. They are not seated around the throne. They are standing before the throne. That indicates that these people are not the same. They are not identified with the 24 elders. In fact, John himself did not know who they were. If they had been Old Testament believers or the church, John would have recognized them. So the elder had to tell John who they were. That suggests that they are a special people. Indeed, they are a special people. They come through the tribulation. They are saved. Of course, in the heavenly city, which is described in Revelation chapter 21 to 22, the heavenly city is described. All distinctions will cease. And we shall all simply be the people of God in glory. But while God is working out His program in human history, distinctions still exist. Jews, Gentiles, the church, and the tribulation saints.
John gives a beautiful description of these people. He first says, these people are accepted.
They stood before God's throne and the Lamb.
Revelation 7 verse 9. After these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So they were accepted. Of course they were rejected on earth. They were killed. They stood for the truth at a time when lies were being popularized by Satan. Satan was in charge. Lies, no truth. During that time they stood for truth. And their white robes and palms, that symbolizes victory. They were true overcomers. They're true overcomers. The Jews used palms, palm branches they used at their Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 40 to 43. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. The Jews still do that in Israel. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So this was a special time of national rejoicing for the Jews. Now we see the saved Gentile tribulation saints, we see them in heaven. Revelation 7 verse 9. After these things I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. They were accepted. They are also joyful. They are joyful. Just like during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. They are joyful. They sang praises to the Father and to the Lamb. And their worship is joined by all those who surrounded the throne. They were also rewarded. They are rewarded. Revelation 7 verses 15 to 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They had the privilege of being before God's throne and of serving God. When God's people get to heaven, there will be work for us to do. We shall be able to serve. We will serve Him. We will serve Him perfectly. And the Lamb of God will shepherd us and He will satisfy us with every good thing. Isaiah 49 verse 10. They shall neither hunger nor thirst. Neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For He who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water He will guide them. Revelation 21 verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now the opening of the seventh seal, that will introduce the seven trumpet judgments. And you see that in Revelation chapter 8, right up to chapter 11, the trumpet judgments. Then what will happen? The wrath of God will increase. It will increase in intensity. It will increase in scope. But before that happens, there's something that we are assured of. In His wrath, God remembers mercy. Even in His wrath, God remembers mercy. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Despite the wrath of God and the terror that is inspired by Satan and his demons. Despite all of that, multitudes will be saved during the time of tribulation. Multitudes will be saved. How will they be saved? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. just as we are saved today. No matter what the age or what the time, what you call dispensation, no matter what the age of dispensation, God's way of salvation has always been the same. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that's the way of salvation. Now, sad to say, however, during that time, there will also be multitudes who reject the Savior. Multitudes who reject the Savior, and they will trust the beast and receive the mark of the beast. But are there not people even today who prefer Satan to Christ? How many times I've had to share the gospel and found, in spite of the fact the clear presentation of the gospel is given, people reject Christ. They reject Christ. They prefer Satan to Christ. So there are people today who prefer Satan to Christ and this world. They prefer this world rather than the world to come. They are just as condemned today as the tribulation sinners who receive the mark of the beast will be condemned. So, the question is, if you have never trusted the Savior, then you need to do so now, because today is the day of salvation. Salvation is not a decision that you can postpone. You cannot. Any decision with regard to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning with salvation, beginning with the decision to be saved, to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, every decision involves commitment. It involves commitment. And it is a decision. It is a decision. That's why the Bible speaks about the fact that today is the day of salvation. Don't postpone these decisions. Now I find believers, they postpone the decision even not only to accept Christ, but after they've accepted Christ, they postpone many decisions. Postpone decision to be baptized. I get baptized, but not now. When I'm convinced I will get baptized. What more convinced you need? You're a believer. You profess faith in Christ. You also partake of the bread and wine. You partake of the communion. What is stopping you from getting baptized? Why are you not getting baptized? I'm not convinced. Before God, you'll have to give an answer. We will not refuse anybody communion because they are not baptized. If they come forward for communion, nobody is going to take the snatch. It happened to me once long ago. I was in that church. And I had my wedding ring on. And you know, because what happened to my wedding ring was because I became fat after I got married. So the wedding ring my finger became fatter. So I cut the wedding ring and got it welded, and I gave it to my wife for safekeeping. He said, keep it. And being a mechanical engineer, I was dealing with, you know, generators, pumps, motors, boilers. It's called a ring injury. So my father said, you need to be very careful, because you're putting your hands into machines which move, and you get a ring injury, it can just take away your finger. So anyway, I had this ring and I went to the church, and they were passing the communion down. And then the communion came to me, they just snatched it away. I said, why? Why do you do that? And the brother who took me to that church, he told me, because you have a ring on your finger. I said, that's my wedding ring. That's my wedding ring. No, no, they won't give you communion if you wear gold. And these people had gold watches. They had gold brooches. Brooch, what do you call it? Brooch. Huh? Brooch. They had gold brooch. But my wedding ring, they were not willing to accept. So we don't snatch away the communion. If you come for communion, you say you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we accept what you are saying. We will not say, no, 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 we will not judge you. We won't judge anyone. Comes forward for communion, we give you communion. But in God's eyes, you're answerable. Give me answer.
2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. So don't ever postpone any decision with regard to the person of Christ. Anything that the Lord tells you, obey. Whatever he says, do. You know, some people, they say, why the Lord is not baptizing me in the Holy Spirit? I've been asking for baptism in the Holy Spirit for a long time. And it does not happen. And my answer often is this. There are many things that the Lord has told you. No, have you obeyed? Have you obeyed the things that the Lord has told you? Have you actually obeyed? You see, we expect God to bless us with his blessings, but we are not willing to obey. We expect blessing, but he says, there are certain things I want you to do, obey. Some he blesses. You know, when you see the scripture, people will get saved, and they get baptized, that they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they move forward in faith. Some are baptized in the Holy Spirit even before they're baptized in water. We've seen that happening in church. Immediately I say, what? Get baptized. Because God has blessed you. Now you obey. You obey. Never take the blessings of God for granted. Never, never. When God blesses, it is for the purpose to become a blessing. Blessing is not for selfish reason. God blesses so that we will be a channel of his blessing to others. Why were these 1,44,000 sealed during the time of tribulation? No harm will come upon them. They are sealed. Why are they sealed? To be witnesses to the rest of the world. Every blessing that God gives us, there is a reason. What does God call us to do? Decision, obedience. Today is the day of salvation. Now, if you have trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, what must you do? Share the good news of salvation. There are so many people. Don't wait for tribulation to share the good news. Of course, if you are saved genuinely, you will be raptured. But share the good news of salvation with others right now, since you are saved, so that they might be delivered from the wrath to come. That is our obedience. That is our obedience. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Christy, will you lead us in prayer?